During his challenging earthly mission, Jesus fixed his eyes on what was ahead. The Bible says he focused on the joy before him despite the dire circumstances of his life. What are your eyes fixed on? We talk about it in this episode of the Re-Up Men's Podcast with Tim Brown. I'm Brandon Porter. Tim will be here in just a minute. Thanks for listening today. You can learn more about Re-Up at reuppodcast.com. Well, Tim, we come to week 18 of the study, and this is sort of our finish line for the identity study. Guys have been in groups or doing the study on their own for a long time because, as you said many times, it's rare that someone gets it done actually in 18 weeks in a row. So, it's hard to know how many weeks they've actually been doing it. What do you say to that guy? I'm sure you've talked to dozens and dozens and dozens of them who have come to this 18th week.
Well, first off, because men are known as quitters, pretty much. That's one of our reputations. The fact that you didn't quit and you're still hanging in there and doing it means that God's doing something.
Yeah.
Because the other thing we know about guys is they don't keep showing up and doing something unless they're getting something out of it. So, just to pat you on the back that you've stayed committed, because there's another word guys don't like. There's two words with C that start with C that men don't like: change and commitment. But these guys, if you're at this point, you've been committed, not just to the study, but to, if you're doing it with a group of guys, you've been committed to the other guys. And that's important too.
Yeah.
Because, that's one thing we got to get back to is we got to start creating a higher expectation of each other.
Yeah.
And so if you and your guys have stayed the course and been chugging along now for however long, you're to be commended. Because again, we as dudes just don't keep doing something.
Yeah.
Unless we're getting something out of it. So, obviously you've had some light bulb moments too, because when you give God time enough so he can teach you, so you can learn and trust, there's light bulb moments.
Yeah.
So you've had that as well. So just give you a pat on the back, and and then just tell you to also, and I know we'll get to this a little later in this episode, but just walk on, stay the course, stay focused, and just keep looking up and looking at him, and because if anything, you're learning through this process. He is who he says he is. So why would you not want to just keep going on the adventure with him?
Yeah, absolutely. I know there are things that you've said and things that we've read in Scripture through these studies that they're now a part of my thinking. I mean, it's in my head, and when I'm driving along and just have the opportunity to kind of daydream, those are some of the places that I go. Or when I'm fighting temptation or discouragement, despair, those are places I go.
Well, and one of the things that was kind of drilled into me early on was if we're ever going to, whenever we teach God's word, we should always make sure we're teaching life, something that gives you life and helps you experience life, that John talks about in John 10:10. So what you're saying there if that's happening and you're experiencing life, those things are going to continue to be integrated into your thinking every day. And Romans 12:2 tells us that we're transformed. Our minds are transformed by his word, by the truth. So there's no way that it won't continue to play over and over and over like a song in your head. If you're really giving him the chance for you to experience life and learn what that really is.
Yeah, absolutely. In John 14, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit brings that truth. He will bring to remembrance all that I've taught to you. And so, you've got to feed it with the Word of God, but the Holy Spirit will bring that to your mind. And as we move forward, as you're talking about, we've got a guest with us here in the studio today. Greg Morris, who is a longtime board member of Re-Up, is with us for this episode of the podcast. And so first, Greg, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yep.
Glad to be here.
Yep. Greg was heavily involved in the last chapter of the study. And so, Tim, we've talked about along the way how for many years there were only 17 chapters,
right,
but then in the latest edition there was an 18th chapter.
Correct.
And Greg had a lot to do with that.
When I wrote the study in 2009, it was just 17 weeks long, and it had been all the way through until really probably a year or so ago, we decided to make this addition. Greg had some thoughts in regards to really where men, the point they're at in this walk, in this journey of learning their identity, that we thought would be very valuable to add to the end, because we don't want this to obviously this is not the end.
Yeah.
And but we wanted to kind of prod guys a little bit to a certain section of scripture that kind of gives them some next steps and really what where their focus needs to continue to be as they move forward now that they've learned their identity. And a lot of that comes from Hebrews.
Yeah.
And I know we're going to talk about that here in just a minute. But yeah, Greg had some great insight there, and has just really was a really powerful way to kind of put a bow on this journey.
Yeah. So Greg, you've gone through this study numerous times. You've done it, you know, personally. There was a time where it was the first time you went through it, but you've been through it over and over and over with other guys over the years. Now adding this 18th chapter, what do you hope guys take from that as they move forward out of the study?
Yeah, I mean, I think, Brandon, the ultimate goal that this week 18 does is helps guys, equips guys to continue on with what they've learned.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, weeks 1 through 17 are so impactful and so powerful, diving into the Word every single week. Every single lesson is an opportunity to live in the Word of God and hear what He's trying to teach us and show us about identity and our identity in Him.
Mm-hmm.
And so as time goes on with everything, change is part of life. And so we really had a challenge and say, hey, it's such a great message, such a powerful message, helping these guys understand who they are in Christ. What's the next thing? And so many times we've all been to a conference, or we've all spent 2 or 3 days under some type of training, a management training or sales training or other, and it, you know, 3-ring binder that goes in the back seat of the car, never to be looked at again. And it's kind of like got my head full of knowledge, but how do I apply this to my life? And so the challenge was, how do we help these guys, no matter where they are in their walk, continue to allow really Him to live His life through them, and you know, to put some wheels to what we've just learned here.
Yeah,
and we know that's a challenge with guys who've been in the, you know, have been around church all their lives, or guys who are brand new to the faith.
Yeah.
But it's just to give them the tools to equip them, and maybe just some ideas that, hey, you're not in this alone. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's here to encourage everyone else, and to help that help the fire teams as we talk about give some substance to those conversations moving forward.
Yeah,
one of the core verses for re-up and where kind of Greg started to take this, 2 Chronicles 16:9, which says, "For the eyes of the Lord search to and fro throughout the earth,
yeah,
to strongly support those whose hearts are completely His."
Mm.
Well, the eyes part of that is very clear that the Lord's looking.
Yeah.
But, you know, Greg, where Greg kind of took us that we wind up putting in the study that I thought was so valuable was, so He's looking, and now you've learned your identity. So where do you need to be looking?
That's good.
And where are you looking?
Yeah.
As you move forward, and Greg gave a great example out of Exodus with Moses. And then he kind of tied it into this Hebrews deal. So I'm going to let him kind of run with that. But that was kind of the setup, was taking that 2 Chronicles 16:9 verse of, okay, there's the Lord's eyes looking. And we know what He's looking for. He's looking for a guy whose heart's completely His. And He wants to strongly support that guy and work through him. But we still got a part in the deal too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where our eyes at.
Yeah.
So, Greg, you want to kind of expand on kind of what you – thought there, and yeah, as we added that.
Yeah. It, you know, in life, especially the older we get, as I say, we have to slow down to go fast. And every time we open the scripture and God continues to speak to us, it's as I get older and I've learned to slow down and try not to cover as much territory and go a little bit deeper sometimes into smaller amounts. And one of, as Tim alluded to, that whole Second Chronicles 16:9 verse, it talks about the Lord searching to and fro throughout the earth to strongly support mm-hmm. those whose hearts are completely His. And so really I started thinking about, well, He's looking for us. Mm-hmm. What should we be doing?
Mm-hmm.
And so many guys, when we tell them that, it's like, okay, that's great. And I think they become fearful sometimes and they take off and want to hide. There's no hiding.
Yeah.
So what do we do with our eyes? And so I really began this search to think about talking about looking and where do we search from and what are we to look at and how are we to look and what does that look like? And quite frankly, quickly, it's amazing how all this kind of comes together. About a year or so ago, I had a situation with one of my eyes where I thought I was losing my sight.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness for medicine, they were able to correct that. And after that surgery, I really started digging into how important sight was,
yeah.
and how grateful and how lucky I was to have my sight. And I really started just to dig in all the places in Scripture where it talks about that. And one of the spots that I found that I've shared multiple times is, and this goes back to that slowing down to go fast, is the episode of the burning bush with Moses, where he's out in the wilderness, he's by himself, he's actually working, right? You know, uh-huh. he's out working the sheep of his yep. father-in-law and other. And so he's doing his job, and here we come upon this, and we've all read this several times, but he comes upon this bush in the middle of the desert that is it's on fire, but it's not being consumed.
Uh-huh.
And we've all, you know, as we've said, we've heard that story. But if you read in the Scripture, what it says as it goes on, it says that Moses really sees this bush finally that's on fire and not being consumed and says, hey, I'm going to turn and look at this side at this burning bush here in the middle of the desert. And if you look at what Scripture says right after that, when that's in chapter or verse 4, chapter 3 of Exodus, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush. So mm-hmm. not until that moment. So I guess he could have wandered all over that mountain and missed the message. But when God saw Moses turn to look aside at this burning bush, then he began to reveal his plan to him.
So do you think they were just bushes that spontaneously combusted?
No, absolutely in the wilderness? No, absolutely not. Right.
Why, yeah. Why did it have to really grab his attention for him right. to turn and look.
Right. Know? And that would never happen to us today, right? That would yeah. never yeah. happen yeah. today where, yeah. you know, things that totally make no sense yeah. whatsoever yeah. would just happen before us.
Yeah.
And then we go home and scratch our head and say, wow.
Well, yeah. I think one of the interesting things Greg pointed out one time when he was first looking at this, and I'm sure he's going to probably expand on it here in a minute, was that, you know, Moses didn't have a lot going on.
Yeah.
Except taking care of the sheep. Right. You know, he didn't have ESPN, he didn't have Netflix, he didn't have hobbies, you know, all this and that. But the Lord still had to burn that bush
yeah.
to get his attention.
Yeah,
right.
And it wasn't until he actually turned and paid attention to it, then that's when everything started getting interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I've read that verse probably, you know, as a kid, I had it in Sunday school along the way, probably I myself shared it with my, you know, with my kids. And when I saw that verse, it said, when the Lord saw, then that's when he began to speak. And mm-hmm. I was like, wow,
yeah,
we really do have to slow down to go fast. So that was just the beginning of these verses that, you know, that really focused in on where do we look? What yeah. we got to pay attention. And, you know, back to what Tim was saying, I mean, Moses, I mean, he's got an important job, right? Mm-hmm. You know, he's tending to these sheep. It's pretty, you know.
And they're his father-in-law sheep.
Yeah, I mean, it's yeah. not just
there's a little
his
pressure.
Sheep.
You don't yeah, mess that yeah, up.
Yeah, I don't mess that deal up.
No, yeah. I don't, not at all.
Yeah.
That would not turn out well. but it is an important responsibility here. But again, to Tim's point, I mean, he's not on, you know, all the social medias and, mm-hmm. and trying to keep up with the sports scores and everything else. And the drama that's going on in the world, he's not trying to keep up with that. It's Moses in the wilderness, on a mountain, in a desert, at a burning bush.
Mm-hmm.
And what an incredible story. I mean, it's if you don't think God's into details, right there's another example of, yeah. let me just show you what I can use to to get everyone's attention, to get you to pay attention.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so the Lord is looking, scanning the earth, looking for those who will look to him. And the question then is, so where do we look? And the obvious answer, we've already begun to allude to it in Hebrews 12. So let me read it real quick. This is Hebrews 12, 1 through 4. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, in the second half of the program, we want to talk about really what that looks like, to look to Christ and to go forward and to do that well. Right here, coming into a break, though, I want to talk about maybe some distractions, because he talks about that specifically. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings to us so closely. I think about, all three of us are baseball fans. We've all been coaches of Little League baseball teams. And I just think about how hard it is to get a ball player to run through first base, right? There are so many distractions that they want to stop way before they get to first base, and you get out if you don't run through first base, right? That ends up biting you in the back. And so as we think about those hindrances, those distractions in a man's life, going from this point forward, Tim, what are things that men ought to be mindful of?
Well, and I was looking for the quote on my phone. I couldn't find it, but I think I'm saying it right. But there's a quote that says, the enemy majors in busyness, muchness, and noise.
Uh-huh.
And he takes those and just, busy. I mean, we think we need 30 hours instead of 24.
Uh-huh.
Muchness, we're spending most of our time trying to be successful and things that don't matter and accumulate all this stuff. And then noise.
Uh-huh.
My wife just wears me out all the time, because, I'll be at home doing something, and I'll just have the TV on.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's just because I'm so used to noise.
Yeah.
I mean, we sleep with a sound machine now, that has the ocean sound or whatever. So we're programmed to, if it's quiet, we struggle.
Uh-huh.
And so I think distraction wise, it's those things. I mean, the enemy just uses those so well.
Yeah.
To get us to, using the baseball deal there, to get us to take our eyes off the ball.
Yeah, to pull up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or pull up at first. Or, of course, when I was coaching, had some kids that we put in the outfield, and there'd be some flowers and bees, and they'd, mm-hmm. They would be paying attention to those, and the ball would go by them to the fence, and mm-hmm. I would just want to pull my hair out, mm-hmm. but they got distracted.
Mm-hmm.
They took their eye off of the ball and what was going on. So, obviously, the enemy's just a master at that. And us men, we're pretty easy prey.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't take. I say all the time that men are bobbleheads, and we're forgetters. And you call up, you tell me to bring the milk home early enough in the day. I come home, I'm not going to have it.
Uh-huh.
And that's just who we are. We get so distracted and we're forgetters. So, hobbies. Now you got all the Fan duels and fantasy sports, and you got hobby, hunting.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we just go on and on and on.
Yeah.
A guy can sit on his phone now and be distracted 24/7 if he wants to.
Yeah, and that really, Greg, it ties into what you said a minute ago about the go slow to go fast. Because if you're really going to pursue Christ, then you can't carry all these things with you if you're going to really, truly do that.
No, and you're right. You do have to. We have to continually slow down to go fast. But, I think about you using the analogy of baseball and running through first. So we look, which is a great analogy, and I second what you say, Tim, about being distracted. And I thought, that's what little kids do. That's what children do. We're grown men in many cases, and we shouldn't be in a position where we allow those bees and butterflies and whatnots to distract. But
yeah.
If you look back to these verses that Brandon just read, it said, let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. So we don't really get first base as the finish.
Mm-hmm.
Life is the finish. And as I've always reminded guys and fire teams and others and just talking with over the years, the finish line always moves. the finish line continually moves. In our life, what we're working for, what we're shooting for, whatever that is, if you'll look, the finish line never is where we think it is. It always moves. And so we have to know that in order to stay focused on the direction we're heading, we've got to throw those things off that entangle us and keep us twisted up.
Re-Up is a personal adventure into intimacy with Jesus Christ. It's more than a program to get men into church. Creating intentional structures with constant encouragement and focus. Re-Up aims to help men grow as disciples of Jesus, educating men in the Father, encouraging them as they pursue the Father, and empowering them as they grow in the Father. Alongside other men, Re-Up helps create a culture of expectation and accountability that gives you a foundation for a true disciple-making ministry in your church. Learn more at reupmen.com.
In the first half of the program, guys, we talked about avoiding distractions. We talked about the great value and reward of completing the study, but we really focused in on avoiding distractions. One of the things that comes out in Hebrews 12 is that Jesus himself sets his eyes forward on the joy of accomplishing the mission of being faithful to his Father. Tim, as you think about pursuing the joy that is ahead of a man in his life when he walks with the Lord, when he lives by Christ's power, what are some of those joys?
Wow. You know, I think we got to tie, we were going to talk about that. We got to tie in, and you kind of hit it there just quickly. In the NIV version, I know some other versions of these verses. In verse 3, it says, consider him.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, when you consider something, that's more than just looking at something.
Mm-hmm.
When you consider it, I mean, you kind of zero in, you think on it. And so after he's talked about the race and the perseverance, fixing your eyes, all this, then he says, consider him. Well, that's where joy comes from, real joy. I mean, it's him. We got to consider him. We got to turn and fully give him our attention.
Mm-hmm.
That's considering him.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where joy comes. And joy can be, I think through this study, the things I've heard from guys that I would consider joy is, first off, knowing that there's joy in knowing that you don't have to give in to the junk that the enemy tries to put in your mind to get you to react to. You don't have to do that because you have him in you and you can live by his life that's in you. And that's a joy. It is for me to know that I can just rest and rely on him. But then also I think joy comes from when the enemy comes at me after I've done, sometimes I'll do the very thing I don't want to do, as Paul tells us, and the enemy comes at me and says, well, see, you're just a knucklehead or whatever. The joy of knowing that, no, wait. I'm a saint. I'm justified. I'm holy. I'm blamed. Yeah, I messed up. But what I do is not who I am. But knowing who I am does impact what I do, and joy can come from that. Man, when you really talk about joy that comes from learning these identity principles and these truths, that we know the truth will set you free, they're just so much there. Catching the enemy at his game, being able to recognize what's going on in the battle of the believer that we talked about in the study. Just all those things that come from really understanding that we are the apple of his eye. And so much that he sent Jesus to take care of my problem that I didn't sign up for and gave me something I didn't deserve. And now I get to live in that. And the only reason I'm somebody is because of that and because of him. And now I know that he really is who he says he is. Now, that's pretty joyful there just in itself, knowing that this isn't a bunch of bunk. Yeah. I don't have to commit intellectual suicide or whatever. This is true. This is real. Mm-hmm. And he is who he says he is, and I am who he says I am.
Mm-hmm.
And when he asked that question up there with his hands open, that illustration I use all the time, imagery of, hey, don't you know who you are?
Yeah.
You're mine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's joy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, quickly, Tim talks about that, consider him. That's another one. There's not a comma there, but you got to stop.
Yeah.
You have to pause for a minute and consider him, and to go on to read the verse that talks about what he went through for you, for me, for humanity.
Yeah.
That is so, so important. But again, I want to help guys understand. I've been asked this a lot of times, especially multiple fire teams, multiple times through this study. Tim just said, which honestly I live by every single day, which is that what you do is not who you are, but who you are has a great impact on what you do. So let me help you. So many guys think that means what you do for a living.
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
We're not talking about what you do to earn an income to provide for your family. We're talking about what you do during your day, what you do in your thought process, what you do when you're driving down as, you know, the highway here in town and somebody cuts you off and you want to wave to them nice signs and signals. All of those things, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, what you do in your marriage.
What you do in your marriage, how you raise your kids, all of those things. What you do is not who you are.
Yeah.
And when we get guys, when we can get guys one-on-one and say, look, and we have this, we call it the hand meter. We show them, you know, when you become that child of God, when you're the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've called on his name for forgiveness and you are saved, you are here. It is done. And your behavior does not change your position the way that he sees you.
Yeah.
And that goes with this statement. When we tell guys that, quite frankly, though, we have a lot of guys weep.
Yeah.
I'm not talking crying.
Yeah.
They weep.
Yeah.
When we help them unpack that and understand that hey, what you do does not change how you are seen. Now, the consequences of those decisions don't go away. You have to adjust from them.
Mm-hmm.
But you absolutely positively have to understand this is where he sees you. And when we help guys understand that, it is an absolute game changer. And it is vitally important that they grasp that. And I'll quickly say, you know, if you don't believe that, if you've spent any time in the scripture, I'm going to go back to another. You can go to Romans and other. The very first word of every chapter begins with most of those chapters, those first chapters, Paul, comma,
mm-hmm.
pause. Take just a second to reflect on the life of Paul and what a horrible individual he was. The terrible decisions he made against Christ mm-hmm. and against the Christianity, all of those things. Like, we're all Paul commas.
Yeah.
We all need to slow and pause and think about it. What we do, again, is not who we are.
Yeah.
But who we are has a great impact on how we live our lives and what we do.
Yeah. And Paul doesn't forget that. He doesn't forget the past.
Absolutely not.
But he doesn't sit there in neutral or reverse either. He puts it in gear and moves forward because of what Christ has done for him. And so guys have hopefully been through all 18 weeks of this study, or at least they're finishing that 18-week. It's a 100-plus page notebook they've been toting around and using to point them to read their Bible and study God's Word. Where do they go from here?
Well, my hopes are, and what we've seen the Lord do to this point, is it becomes a lifestyle
mm-hmm.
of using that imagery again with my granddaddy Brown. I mean, it just becomes one of the greatest joys of their day to run up and get in his lap so they can have his aroma. And when our experience, I think Greg would echo this, has been when that light bulb goes off, that you understand that I am who he says I am, and what I do is not going to change that. But who I am does change what I do. and learn to live in what I call the past tense of that, of who we became. There's no way in the world you're not going to spend a lot of time with him. Because when he proves to you, you know, people ask me all the time, and I've said this on other episodes, you know, what's the greatest revelation you've had in your walk with the Lord? You know, all the stuff, you've read my book, all the junk I've been through, all this and that, so forth. What's the greatest thing you've learned? And, you know, At first I thought, well, it's a simple answer. I know you were probably wanting something deeper, but when I say it, I realize that's the deepest answer you could ever have. Uh-huh. And that answer is, he is who he says he is.
Yeah.
And really, that's really all we need to get our heads around anyway, fully, is that he is who he says he is. Uh-huh. And for that reason, that's why I can believe that I am who he says I am.
Uh-huh.
The reason I can believe I am who he says I am is because he is who he says he is.
Uh-huh.
And so I just find that, you know, we don't have to ask guys to get in the Word, even though we want to keep giving them structure. So you're finishing this study. We've got 17 other studies we want you to go to and give you that structure to get you in the Word every day, because we know guys need that. But it's no longer a task. It's a joy.
Uh-huh.
It's a privilege. It's an opportunity. And so then the other thing that's happened is, You've got five or six guys that would take a bullet for you now.
Mm-hmm.
You've got five or six guys that I ask guys all the time, how many of you know that you know that you know that you have four or five other guys in your life that pray for you and your family every day?
Mm-hmm.
Well, most guys go, no, I don't have it. Well, I've got nine because
mm-hmm.
I'm in two different fire teams.
Mm-hmm.
Greg's got five or six because he's in my fire team.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, just knowing that in itself, that when things are tough, that I know I've got these guys praying for me and my family. So the next steps, I mean, number one, why would you walk away from that? Why would you walk away from what God's using these other men in your life to do? And why would you walk away from what he's shown you in his Word and revealed to you? Why would you go back? Our buddy Wes, that we all know, you know, he kind of says it this way. He says, you know, when you get a guy to step into these teams, he's got one foot in the world and one foot in Jesus. But if he'll stay long enough in this deal, eventually he'll bring that other foot and put it in Jesus too. And you can come begging, pull on him, whatever. He's not going back. He's not going back to that place again, because he's firmly where he wants to be and needs to be. And so I just think the journey's really just getting started. There's a reason our average tenure of our fire teams is about 9 years right now. I mean, dudes don't show up for stuff like that long unless they're getting something out of it.
Huh.
And bottom line is, what's going on? Life change, and he's showing that he is who he says he is. And guys are pretty simple critters. If you can prove that to me, I'll keep going.
We're glad you've been on this journey with us. And as the guys just said, we're just beginning. We hope you'll find new resources at reuppodcast.com to help you and a group of guys grow together as men of God. Thanks for listening to the Reup Men's Podcast with Tim Brown. Please make sure to subscribe at your favorite platform, and why not tell a friend about our show? Reup is here to help. Learn how we can help you on your journey with Christ. You can do that at reuppodcast.com.